thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymyr Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymyrbaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
Hey guys, how you going? If we've not met before, I'm Matt. I'm the one who got all those hoot hoots before, which just made me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. It's so delightful. It's so great to be at church. If you're new with us, an extra welcome to you. I'm stoked that you've decided to join us here as we just try and figure out how we do this life called faith. And tonight we're looking at Proverbs. And I've really loved this Proverbs series. Plenty of people who I've spoken to have said that they've just loved how practical it's been. And it's true. Proverbs really are the modern day life hack. And spending all this time in looking at Proverbs, I kind of started to think about the, I guess, colloquial Proverbs that I throw around in my day-to-day life. And one that stood out to me, probably because I say it far too often, is that one that says, when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. Anyone heard that one? I did make an ass out of myself because I thought it was an ass, and apparently that's something different and it's slightly inappropriate. So anyway, but moving on. The point being of that saying is that when you jump to a hasty conclusion, you tend to run the risk of looking somewhat like a fool, and more than that, you run the risk of making those around you look like a fool as well. And surely at one point in your life, in our lives, we've all experienced that crippling embarrassment that comes from assuming incorrectly. Maybe you've been in a cafe and for whatever reason, you've decided that you're the only person with your name in that room. And so when the barista calls out your name, you step up with confidence knowing that that's your double shot cappuccino, when in truth, it's your half strength decaf soy latte and you vomit a little bit in your mouth because that's disgusting. Or maybe you hit up the 24/7 Kmart, because let's face it, who hasn't? And you tell yourself that you're just going to get that one item, but really you get 20. But you assume that you know how much money you've got in your bank account. And so you walk up to the registers with a degree of confidence and you hand your card over to the cashier only to get those like pity eyes where they say, sorry, love, it's declined. Or maybe, this is my favorite, when you're having that conversation with your friend, your pregnant friend, and you assume that it's universally recognized that that particular name is ridiculous, and so you voice that opinion, and then you realize it was in their top three. Yep. So I think we all know what happens when you assume, right? And this modern day proverb warning against the social fallout that comes from assuming too quickly, I feel is actually a bit of a ripoff of a biblical proverb. One that is far less interested in what it's like to be embarrassed and more concerned with the way our judgment directs our life. Proverbs 14:15 says, "The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps." And what I found particularly ironic when I first read this passage was that I did the very thing that this proverb was telling me not to do. I made a fast and subsequently incorrect conclusion about what it was trying to say. Let me explain. I don't know about you, but when I've heard someone described as simple, my assumption is that they're trying to be nice, if not patronizing, about calling someone dumb. Am I alone in that? And as a result, you can read this as the simple believe anything because they're just not that bright. But it's not that at all. In fact, the translation of the original Hebrew talks more about someone who jumps to an instant conclusion or interpretation. So to be simple has absolutely nothing to do with intellect, but whether or not you are someone who is quick to assess, quick to make a judgment, and as a result, quick to believe without testing, considering, or contemplating whether or not what you've perceived to be true is actually accurate in the first place. So if you're simple, you're someone who runs the risk of being easily misled. So what do we do with that? Well, the proverb tells us that to avoid being simple, we're called to be prudent. One translation that I read spoke about prudence being the sharp power of judgment. And confession time, in my regular daydreams of being a superhero, I'm not sure that I've ever once thought that judgment, could be a superpower. For me, I more wanted to be like Thor. The guy shoots lightning, he looks good with one eye, and he's ripped, which I am not. But having said that, there is still some appeal to a power of judgment, because this judgment is of what we perceive, the insight that we gain from everything that surrounds us, and we then use that to determine the way in which we are going to navigate through life. To be prudent is to have a deeper understanding and an intentionality around our direction that we're heading in our life. Rather than be misguided, the prudent have considered what will and will not influence their steps, and therefore are not easily led. So with that in mind, I started to try and think through where Proverbs 14:15 applies most in our world today. Because really, the Proverbs were written thousands of years ago. So where in our modern setting do we find its truth? And the more I thought about it, the more I thought that it rests in the internet, the blessed internet. I mean, the whole purpose of the internet is to connect us together, to introduce us to new ideas, new people, and different perspectives. And it seems like the perfect place to live out this proverb, the perfect place to exercise prudence towards what we're being exposed to, so that we're not misled, but rather have an intentionality around what impacts our life and the direction that it can take us in. That works in theory only if the internet is what it says it is. But does it actually function the way we think it should? So I was watching a TED talk, and this guy called Eli Pariser, I'm assuming. I'm doing a bit too much of that tonight. And he spoke about filter bubbles. He said that the algorithms used by sites in the internet, like Netflix or Google or Apple Music, that they ultimately create for each and every one of us a personal and unique universe of information that we each live in online. It determines what it thinks we want to see and blocks off anything that doesn't meet that criteria. I don't know about you, but I've definitely seen this in Facebook. So I'm a huge fan of the video threads that just go on forever. It's a beautiful thing. I tell myself I'll only watch 5 minutes, and then several hours later, I'm still there. I know it's a problem. I'm in a group. That's a different sermon. Let's move on. You know, I normally watch comedians or movie trailers, or if I'm feeling like a good trial, I'll watch a good cry. I'll watch war veterans coming home to their kids because it's just so darn beautiful. Anyway, again, not the point. Facebook now tells me if I've watched a video before, and what I've noticed is that I've watched all the videos. There is rarely anything new on my feed. Facebook has literally restricted what I see so that no new information can get through. It has ultimately built a cage around me that disconnects me from anything else and tells me that it's reality. Now, don't get me wrong, in some ways, filter bubbles are good. We have a filter bubble on our Netflix so that our kids don't watch Stranger Things, because that would be inappropriate. But for those of us in the room who aren't 4 years old, it means that we can find ourselves in a space where we think we're being open to new things. It means that we think that we're in an environment where we could exercise some prudence, that we're being exposed to a true representation of our world, when in truth, we are surrounded by the same people with the same thoughts, reinforcing the same beliefs. And in that kind of environment, we actually run the risk of becoming very simple, because we can make a quick conclusion that says that that our response is appropriate because everyone else thinks the same. Now, I'm not saying that the point of this proverb is to go out and expose yourself to any and every thought, person, idea, and perspective. If that's what you take home tonight, you've missed the point. What I think is important is that this proverb is encouraging us to exercise prudence, meaning we need to keep at it. It's an ongoing process and life choice. We need to, at the very least, hear what the world is talking about so that we can choose our steps accordingly and navigate this life appropriately. But we can't do that if we've built a little bubble around ourselves. Otherwise, we can leave ourselves being ill-equipped when new things come our way, which might then make for a simple response. Prudence is something that we need to practice, and we can't practice it in a bubble. Seems like something we can all kind of take on board, right? I feel like anyone could kind of look at that and say, yeah, sounds good, regardless of where you're at in your journey of faith, or even if you are on a journey of faith. The Proverbs are kind of universal in their approach. It makes sense. I can see how that would make my life better. But the thing is, we're not just concerned with having a better life, are we? As believers, we seek a life that is built on a relationship with our Heavenly Father and one that participates with His plans and purposes. And even though Proverbs may not seem overly spiritual in language, it is, like all scripture, God's word, and He too is more concerned with a godly life as opposed to a better one. So it's important that we understand that this proverb is asking us to be more than just aware of what influences our perceptions and path in life. I think by going a fraction deeper with this proverb, we can actually see God's reasoning behind this teaching. To go back to that translation of prudence being a superpower of judgment, what stood out to me in this translation was that it spoke about the multifacetedness of this judgment that we're called to, this prudence, that it included both wisdom and humility. Proverbs 8:12 says, "I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence." This idea that judgment, this prudence, is so closely tied to wisdom is mentioned more than once in scriptures. And the Proverbs also speak about wisdom being knowing and fearing the Lord. So I think that deeper step for us as believers, I think the implication for us is to take it that one step further from don't be gullible because you'll be misled. I think that as people striving to live out the teachings of God, prudence is more than just a power of judgment. Prudence is to be someone who lives and seeks to walk humbly in the will of God. If we believe whatever we hear in our world, we can so easily be led away from what God has called us to live out. But if we use what we know of God to shape the way that we see and interact with our world, then our steps can lead us closer to a relationship with Him. Think about those moments. Maybe you found yourself in a conversation where people are questioning God, questioning His existence, maybe even His motives. I know for myself, I get a lot of it when people are struggling with the idea of pain in our world, and they question God's hand in it all. And I mean, it would be so easy to be pulled into that questioning and maybe even agree with it. You know, where is God in all the pain in our world? Crisis after crisis, war after war, death after death. But the thing is, by knowing God, by knowing His love for me, for us, the love that I see on the cross, the sacrifice that that love takes, it gives this whole new lens for me to look at things like pain and brokenness through. It gives me a whole new lens to look at our world through. And so we judge those circumstances differently, don't we? Because we know God and we know His love, and that gives us a new perspective. So the byproduct of prudence is not just having a sense of direction in our lives, but it's about living a life knowing God and having that determine our steps. And that's why we need to be exercising prudence. Now, as you know, for the purposes of this series, we've been referring to Proverbs as life hacks because we're just so up with the lingo. But the thing about life hacks is they don't always apply to every scenario. Am I right? For example, eucalyptus oil. Eucalyptus oil is a great cleaning product. You know, you add 3 drops of that stuff to any, you know, bottle of water spray, and you, my friends, have an all natural multi-purpose cleaning product. Hashtag life hack, hashtag clean, natural cleaning. Do you want to know when I learnt that eucalyptus oil could not be used for cleaning all products? I was about 8 or 9, and my mum decided that it was about time that we cleaned off the yellow tinge to my teeth. So she decided to get a cotton bud with some olive oil. I hope she's not listening. And thankfully, my sister, bless her, noticed the giant poison sign down the side of the bottle. Yep. So life hacks don't always work. And sometimes proverbs don't either. There is such truth that we need to be exercising prudence in our lives if we are going to grow in our understanding of the teachings of Jesus and see our lives changed by him. Absolutely, no doubts, testify, amen, hallelujah. Am I right? But in my experience, there have also been moments in my journey of faith where I have felt a clear prompting from the Spirit to step forward with complete and utter reckless abandon. A call to, rather than exercising my prudence, surrender to a far greater judgment of God. And we need to remember that that is just as an important part of faith as prudence. That sometimes we need to switch off our heads in order that we can lean in with our hearts. And for me, this was true in my prayer life. I feel like I always had a pretty clear understanding of the significance of prayer. I understood the role it played in connecting me with my Heavenly Father and how it was one of the most significant ways in which God restored my relationship with him. Prayer is a big deal, and I would always try and exercise that prudence that Proverbs 14 is talking about. I tried to have wisdom. I tried to take what I knew of God and implement it to how I prayed. I tried to have humility. I tried to understand that it wasn't about what I said, but who God is that gives power to my prayers. And I still struggled to feel a sense of connection to God through my prayer. In my mind, it just wasn't happening, no matter how prudent I was being in regards to it. Until one night at my life group, side note, join a life group, a friend led prayer and challenged us all to just lean in. They were his words, to just lean in, to put everything out of our mind, all our preconceived ideas and perceptions about prayer, and just wait for God to show up. It was hard. It was a little bit uncomfortable because I'd given so much thought about it. I felt like I knew which way I was headed. But at the same time, I really felt like it was necessary in that moment to be a little bit reckless and just lean in. Long story short, my prayer life has never been the same because God in those moments just can do something that we can't be prepared for. And 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Do not quench the Spirit." And I think sometimes our judgment, within our judgment, we can take that humility piece out of the equation and forget that although we are called to be prudent, we are first and foremost called to give up our lives freely over to God. And sometimes this means letting go of our judgment and trusting fully in God's plan. I think about Peter when he was in that boat with the rest of the disciples and they saw Jesus walking out on the water and he calls for Peter to step out of the boat. Like, he made a quick decision in that moment that contradicted what everyone else would have thought would have been a considered wise judgment. He followed Jesus out onto the water with a bit of recklessness. And I didn't see him be misguided in any way. Sometimes not quenching the Holy Spirit means being a little bit simple. Because we should not extinguish the influences that the Spirit has in our hearts and our lives. And sometimes the influence of the Holy Spirit comes fast and hard, and the only thing that we can do in that moment is lean in and stop thinking about it. So it's a tricky balance. We're called to be prudent. We're called to take what we know of God and have it shape our steps, the direction that our life goes on, because that's how we live a life fulfilling his purpose and his plan. And on the flip side, we're also called to just jump in, sometimes stop taking steps and just leap into what God is doing even though we may not fully understand it. And I think maybe it's in that tension, it's in trying to figure out that balance that we need to be the most prudent of all. In trying to figure out where we take some steps and where we just take the plunge. To understand God is to know when he's prompting us to walk and to know when he's taking over completely. Because taking just one approach and calling it the full life that Jesus says he came to give us, more than anything else, I think that's the most simple response ever. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. We're going to worship together. And as we do each week, we're going to have prayer available. And can I challenge you to consider where God is prompting you to be prudent? Is he trying to tell you who he is so that you can know him more and meet with him? Or is he just telling you to jump in? And can that be what shapes your worship tonight and your prayer tonight? So as the team comes forward, I'm going to lead us in prayer. Yeah, Heavenly Father, what an honor it is, Lord, to be in your presence, to know the creator of the heavens and the earth, to know the creator who breathed us to life, knowing the life that you wanted for us, knowing the way it was to be lived in fullness, Father, and that you give us these lessons, these proverbs, so that we can know how to walk in your ways, how to have life to the full. Father, so often we need to know you to take those steps towards you. Father, I pray that you open our eyes and our hearts to those things, to those lessons, so that our steps can be towards you. But also, Father, I pray that you can help us switch off sometimes and just lean into your spirit. Lean into what you're doing in that moment and experience that transformation that can come all of a sudden without thought or preparation on our part, knowing full well and trusting full well that you have thought it out more times than one. And so, Father, prompt us where we need to walk and prompt us where we need to leap. I pray all these things in your name. Amen.